The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right, coming up, we have our conversation with Dr. LeBlanc. She is back. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Dr. LeBlanc, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am good. So how has it been? It's been a while.
I know. It's good. I can't complain. How are you?
I am good. So let's define what ovarian cancer is once again. And I know that in terms of cancers affecting women, it's one of the top ones. Is that correct?
Well, it's one of the top in terms of the gynecological cancers, because the ovaries are part of our gynecological reproductive system. So it's one of our, I would say, in the top 10 cancers in women in Trinidad and Tobago, but it is up there. And we are seeing an increase in detection. And therefore, this day, World Ovarian Cancer Day, it's just to reinforce the fact that ovarian cancer exists and what signs and symptoms to look for, and most importantly, to heighten your awareness of your body as women so that we have early detection and therefore increased survivorship.
And you mentioned today is World Ovarian Cancer Day. Why did they choose today of all days to observe the, well, to give that highlight?
I have no clue. You know, every cancer has a day. For example, while it's World Ovarian Cancer Day, Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month is in September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the rhyme and reason, I think it's important to understand that no matter whether today is Ovarian Cancer Day, tomorrow is Lung Cancer Day, today, this month is Ovarian Cancer Month, or next month is Prostate Cancer Month, every day, every month, every minute, every hour, we need to understand cancers on the whole. We need to be aware of the cancers we can screen for and be aware of the signs and symptoms, and also what we can do in terms of lifestyle and do our part, so to speak, in terms of prevention and increased survivorship against all cancers.
And you talked about signs and symptoms. What are the signs and symptoms of ovarian cancer?
So it's important to know that ovarian cancer, first of all, every cancer is named after the organ from which the cells generate or originate. Mm-hmm. Your ovaries are found in the female reproductive system, and they're the ones that have our millions of eggs that we ovulate every month. And then we may get pregnant or we may not, but we have menstruation if we're not pregnant. So the ovaries are like two little walnuts that hang out from our fallopian tubes from our uterus, if everybody remembers their biology pictures. So cancer of the ovary or ovarian cancer is exactly that, a cancer originating from the ovary. Mm. So what are signs and symptoms of ovarian cancer? Something as simple as intermenstrual spotting, a heaviness in your lower abdomen, pain or discomfort in your lower abdomen, painful intercourse or dyspareunia, spotting after sex, losing weight that you can't describe why, fatigue, lower back pain, urinary tract symptoms that you can't explain, menstrual irregularity. So it could be that you, all of a sudden you're bleeding much more, then bleeding less, spotting in between periods. Periods are coming more frequently, or missing or skipping periods. So anything along those lines could be possible signs and symptoms of ovarian cancer.
And what I'm saying here, can you fully recover from ovarian cancer?
Fully recover. So it all depends on the stage that you're detected at. So, for example, in an earlier stage, they may be able to do a total hysterectomy and oophorectomy, which means taking out all of the uterus and the ovaries, and then maybe do some radiation and or some chemo, and then you could be in remission. Right? Mm. Because it hasn't spread if it's a very early stage. So it really depends on the stage to answer that question.
And I remember we talked about staging. What would be the different stages of ovarian cancer?
So all cancers, so ovarian cancer staging really depends, because there are two schools, there are different schools of thought for staging. But in a general sense, for staging of ovarian cancer, once it stays within the ovarian tissue, depending on the size of tumor, you have a different stage from 0 to 1. And then if it starts to spread to locally, so going towards the abdominal wall or the pelvis or in the lymph nodes locally, then you go to stage 2 and 3. And then when it spreads distant from to other distant organs, then we go to stage 4. But also it's important to note that the staging, according to the Gynecological Association, varies depending on the size of the tumor, how many lymph nodes are affected at the time of detection. So that's it's very complex to go into the different staging because there are different schools of thought for staging of ovarian cancer. But it's important to understand that if you're feeling unwell, you're feeling a heaviness, you're just not feeling right, your periods are off, you're getting low abdominal pain, it doesn't mean you have ovarian cancer, but this is when you get checked out. The doctor does the usual, and please note that the pap smear is not the screening test for ovarian cancer. There's no screening test for ovarian cancer, but the doctor will do the workup based on your symptoms, and that can include an ultrasound of the pelvis and abdomen, a CT scan of the chest, abdomen, pelvis, blood work may be done as well. A physical exam has to be done. An MRI may be done as well. And then once that information is gathered, and then if they see a tumor, for example, on the initial ultrasound, they say, okay, let's biopsy it maybe. But they may not biopsy based on the characteristics of the tumor that they're seeing based on blood work results. And then they may decide, okay, or recommend surgical treatment. And based on that, I mean, then we see where you're going, like in terms of your staging, your recuperation, your treatment plan, and all of that.
Mm. Now, is it a thought that the types of things that you eat has an effect or can bring about ovarian cancer?
Not really. You know, all cancers most cancers are considered lifestyle diseases. So with ovarian cancer, like all cancers, the thought process is your lifestyle. That means smoking, vaping, excessive use of alcohol, using a lot of processed foods, a sedentary lifestyle. Those are all risk factors for all cancers. So there's not one particular food that I could say to you is a risk factor for ovarian cancer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's all about lifestyle, and it's also and I think it's important for us to understand that when we speak about lifestyle, we should include self-care, which includes your annual checkups, because only then can you understand what your body's going through. You and your physician, your general practitioner, will understand, are there subtle changes? Should we do a workup on anything? Are we missing anything? How are your periods? And there's a big talk now, not now, but we're much more open about our perimenopause, menopausal journeys as women. And therefore, you know, I don't want women to always chuck everything up to perimenopause and menopause without having a checkup. And that is key. Have your checkup. Let your doctor work you up and rule out any of the malignancies or the cancers before we just chuck everything to perimenopause and menopause.
Well, as you started talking about, that is genetics a big part or plays a big part in diagnosing or even forecasting if you would get ovarian cancer?
They're still doing research, and so there may be a slight genetic link. Sometimes you see, for example, when patients, and this is all about genetic testing, which I hope our specialists will come on and speak about that at some point with you as well, where depending on certain genes that we notice in a woman, we'll be able to say, for example, based on the genes that are turned on or are present in her genome, that she's at risk for ovarian cancer or other endometrial cancers or gynecological cancers. Sorry. And then they would then say, well, do you want to do the hysterectomy, the oophorectomy, because of the genetics we've seen? So there is a link, you understand, based mm-hmm. on what we see in terms of genetic testing. And that is something that we also have to explore and understand as well. You know, it is not direct, but you can see, you know, for some women, if certain genes are turned on, you may be at risk. And that's important to understand, at risk, mm-hmm. right?
It's not
for sure, but at risk. And therefore, can you be proactive and do prophylactic surgeries to prevent the occurrence, you know, mm-hmm. based on your personal state?
Now, when we hear the word ovaries and ovarian cancer, we think about fertility. What are some of the things that you can, I guess, put in place or refer to if you still want to be on the fertility track?
So based on the time of diagnosis and age of diagnosis, what happens is that the oncologist will work with the reproductive specialist to determine if you are a candidate for preserved fertility. And what that would entail is then they would take your eggs and freeze them, because they will have to operate on your ovaries and do an oophorectomy. So when they take the eggs, if you are married, then the fertility specialist can decide, do we take the eggs, fertilize them if you have a partner, and then freeze those embryos, or do we just take your eggs if you don't have a partner, freeze the eggs, and then when you find a partner, we do they fertilize and then do IVF. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So there are different options, but that is dealt with, and it's something women should ask about, inquire about. If you are of reproductive age and you want to consider fertility post any treatment, that should be a question foremost in your mind when you speak to your oncologist and the team, so that they can give you the option to liaise with a fertility specialist to see what your options are before treatment begins.
And are there any ways in which the day is recognized by the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society? I know that we're doing an interview today, but would there be any other events or recognition today?
No. So what happens is that we also had an interview on your TV, sister TV station, this on Tuesday with Dr. Boxhill. And again, because this is a cancer we can't screen for, we're raising awareness, alerting you to the fact that this exists, this disease exists, heightening the awareness around empowering women to do their true self-care, their annual checkups, understand their bodies, and you know, just bringing awareness and letting you know that the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society is advocating for you to pay attention to your body, to get your checkups done, to get screened for the cancers you can screen for, and not be afraid or fearful of a diagnosis. Because the thing is that early detection is key to survivorship, and also to reinforce healthier lifestyle habits. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that you holistically and integratively, we're coming together to say, hey, this is what you can do as individuals in society. This is how we're going to advocate for you. But know that this cancer exists, and know that it applies to our population. And what should you do? And that is key, starting with your annual checkup.
And now, talking about, you mentioned self-care. What would that look like in terms of assessing, or at least being aware, as it pertains to cancer treatment and detection?
Self-care in terms of cancer detection, self-care means doing your screenings, your lifestyle habits, exercising, eating right, not smoking, not vaping, no excessive alcohol intake. That is self-care from a medical standpoint, right? And also, dare I say, from a holistic standpoint, because the definition of health is the balance of body, mind, and soul. And so it's so important that we attend to that and not wait till the fit hits the shan to say, oh my gosh, I need to take care of myself. So that helps you with screening, to say, okay, I'm doing my screening. Am I at risk? Where am I? You know your family history, understand. And then if you do get a cancer diagnosis, self-care means all that I mentioned before, plus increased heightened stress coping, reaching out for help, knowing that you have support, don't walk the walk alone, knowing that there's somebody there, such as the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society, and not being afraid to ask for help.
And of course, with the support of the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society, it is based on donations and interaction with companies as well. Is there any information you would like to give for individuals who would be willing to do that?
Sure. There's so many. You can reach out to us on our socials, which is on Instagram, Facebook, and also on TikTok. Reach out to us if you're interested in volunteering, if you're interested in donating. We also, through our website, www.cancer.tt, if I'm not mistaken, don't kill me, I should know this. You will see our tree of life, and you can also click to donate a branch, a trunk, a leaf, and donate to help the society. You can also call in at 280-4453 and speak to one of our project's representatives and tell them you wish to donate or you wish to volunteer. reach out to us, follow us on our socials, see what we're doing. You know, the Trinidad Ovarian Cancer Society is an NGO, and we are your national voice against cancer. We operate based on donations and government subvention. And so we're not afraid to tell you, yes, we are in the begging mood all the time, but know that your funds go towards not only operations, but also trying to make, not trying, making a difference of equitable access to the country in Trinidad and Tobago. And that means increased screening for early detection, for increased survivorship, therefore improving the health and wealth of the population of Trinidad and Tobago.
We have a call. Let's hear if there are any questions. Hello, good. Oh, they hung up. Sorry. 625-2257, 627-3223. See if you have any questions for Dr. LeBlanc. She is willing and able to answer these questions. One person here has sent a message. As the topic is about cancer, what's the normal CEA blood test levels?
Right. So it varies on lab. And, you know, that's a good question, because a lot of people think that when they hear the word cancer markers, that it means that it's a cancer screening test. And it's important to understand that CEA, CA125, CA155, CA199, all are cancer markers and not screening tests. This means you do not use them in a supposedly normal population to look for a cancer. That's not what that marker is for. That marker is for example, when we're working up a patient with ovarian cancer, for example, we see a tumor in the ovary and we say, okay, what is the CA125? If the CA125 is elevated, it still doesn't mean it's cancer. We say, okay, if it's elevated, and if we determine after the oophorectomy or the studies done that it was cancerous, we have a baseline CA125, and then we're able to evaluate the effectiveness of treatment on the CA125 levels as we treat that patient. So CEA levels vary from lab to lab, and you shouldn't have to do that unless you are suffering from the particular cancer that CEA will be the marker for, which in most times it's lung and liver.
All right, let's see if you could take some phone calls here. 625-2257, 627-3223 before we close off today's session of Let's Talk Cancer. Hello, good morning. All right, we lost that one. Anyway, continue.
And, before I forget, the website is www.cancertt.com. And so there you'll be able to follow and see what we're doing. We also have our palliative care arm, which is Vitas House Hospice. So, you know, you'll be able to see all that we're doing and all that we're about as well.
All right, and probably next week we could talk about palliative care, because we've been speaking about the different types of cancers, but not really going the step further if unfortunately it is reached to that stage and the services that are offered. Yeah,
sure. And you could talk about the walk they're having to raise money too.
We could do that as well. Another message coming in here says, good morning, do you know the survival rate of people with stomach cancer in Trinidad?
Oh gosh, in Trinidad, no. And stomach cancer, really, my grandmother died from stomach cancer. May her soul rest in peace. And so stomach cancer, if it's not detected early, is a very, it's a very interesting cancer. So it's always good to pay attention to the signs and symptoms of your body and understand it and get early detection.
All right, well, Dr. LeBlanc, it's so nice to see you once again. You are back. And thank you so much to the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society for coming and talking to us about how we deal with cancer. So next week.
It's nice to hear your voice. So you can't say I don't talk to you no more.
Not some problem. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Take care. Have a good one and have a great weekend. And happy Mother's Day from the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society to all the mothers out there. And we appreciate everything that you all do to help us. And we're here to help you however we can. Reach out if you want lectures. Reach out for screening. Please don't be afraid of the diagnosis. We're here to help.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, TNT 1133 in the nation's capital. We've got a couple more minutes before we bring in the news at 12 o'clock. Compliments CNC3 on the TBC Radio Network. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, more of your calls and messages. Stay tuned.
a spelling-based game for school children 10 years and under.
Keep an eye on the clock.
And this is the Spellbound Wheel.
Plus,
your hive of 5 and 35 is...
And featuring your boy, Cast the Illusionist.
It's on Mondays at 8.
Streaming live on Facebook and at cnc3.co.tt.
Reruns on Wednesdays at 4:25 p.m. and on Saturdays at 5 p.m. on CNC3.
Brought to you by the Ministry of Planning and Development, Parrier Fuel Trading Company Limited, with Oxytos Plus and thebesttoys.com.
It's the all-new cricket West Indies T20 Breakout League, a brand new tournament bringing together rising cricket stars from across the Caribbean, Barbados, Guyana, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, the Windward and Leeward Islands, all battling for breakout glory. Freedom 106.5 FM is your official home for the cricket action, with 17 live matches in 10 days, starting April 25th to May 10th, powered by Cricket West Indies, the Caribbean Premier League, and brought to you by Guardian Media Limited, your official media partner. Don't miss a moment. Follow Freedom 106.5 FM on Facebook and Instagram for the full match lineup and updates. Cricket West Indies T20 Breakout League, the next generation of cricket legends, starts now. And for home seekers dreaming of a new home, mark your calendars for the Cherry Gardens Open House on Saturday, May 10th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Joining us in the beautiful Cherry Gardens estate to walk through stunning brand new three-bedroom modern homes in a secure gated community in Arima. And here's the best part, the first 10 buyers will receive $10,000 cash back from the developer. Don't miss this opportunity. Meet with bank representatives on site to pre-qualified. For details, call 377-1899 or 272-7337. Cherry Gardens, your new beginning starts here. We can't wait to see you on May the 10th.
Get her. Nothing better. Call me Mr. Bennett, run that top model chick to your everyday hood rat. Less than all, but more than a few, but I never met one like you.
Been all over the world, done a little bit of everything, little bit of everywhere, with a little bit of everyone. But all the girls I've been with, things I've seen, it takes much to impress. But showing up your glow, it makes you so stand out from all the rest, baby.
I could be in love, but I just don't know.
Maybe one thing is for certain, whatever you do is working. Other girls don't matter in your presence, can't do what you do. There's a million girls around, but I don't see no one but you.
Girl, you're so one.
About the loop, talking about I can't do for you what you can do for yourself. Even though that ain't so, baby, cause my dope don't know how to end. But that independent thing, I'm with it, all we do is win, baby.
I could be in love, but I just don't know.
Maybe one thing is for certain, whatever you do is working. Other girls don't matter, in your presence can't do what you do. There's a million girls around, but I don't see no one but you.
Baby,
you are, baby, you're the best I am.
Looking on Facebook Live right here on Freedom 106.5 FM or Freedom 106.5 on Facebook. I am looking at some of the clips from the recently concluded Met Gala. Let me tell you something. I'm loving the outfits. I'm hating a few others. I will be honest with you. The theme for this year's Met Gala was dandyism. Let me just get the definition. And this is the Met Gala. Now, if you're into fashion, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Met Gala is something that happens every single year, and it's in an effort to raise funds for the Met Gala, which is a museum of fashion and trends, etc. And this year, the Met Celebration of Black Dandyism has a dark side. That's one of the articles appearing in the Washington Post. So basically, the trend of the Met Gala is to give a theme, and designers from across the world, they focus in on the theme and then bring something forward on, you know, the interpretation of it. So stars like Lupita Nyong'o, Rihanna, I see that Diana Ross came out in her full regalia. I mean, Lauryn Hill as well. I ain't too sure what Lauryn wearing. They shouldn't have put her in that color, but it's Lauryn at the same time. Andre 3000 showed up with a grand piano strapped to his back, perhaps a reference to his carrying true music on his back for decades. But I have to say it was a black woman who stunned the most at Monday's Met Gala, one of the fashion's biggest nights of the year. Lupita Nyong'o brought out a light blue suit with flowing cape, a pregnant Rihanna. She is pregnant again, people. Sorry. I just have to say that. Third baby. Why not? She's a billionaire and she can do it. ASAP Rocky seems very happy. He was with her on the red carpet as well. And they made quite a pair on the red carpet, showing off her baby bump in a form-fitting skirt and suit with a cropped tuxedo jacket and a dramatic wide-brimmed hat. Lauryn Hill, whose style has been long been eclectic and androgynous, came through in a canary yellow suit with a powder shoulder bag, serving as a base for a large halo. I didn't like, honestly, I didn't, this is one of them that I didn't like, this outfit. They should not have put in that yellow. The best one for me was Miss Janelle Monáe. She did this punk rock kind of look that kind of reminded me of the peanut on the Planters bottle, you know, with the eyeglass, the spyglass on her eye. So she came out in a coverall and then did a whole dress change into, yeah, this perfect red, white, and black suit. Singer Janelle Monáe, who has long embraced a dandy aesthetic, probably won the night in a red, white, and black suit, complete with a buckle. I was trying to remember the name of that. It is a monocle. They done messed up and made Met black this year, luxury stylist Law Roach said at a party in New York before the ball. And he dressed Zendaya, who happened to look exactly like another person. Can't remember her name, but down to the hat and the color, everything, they both matched. And he was cheeky enough to say, well, we will let the critics decide who wore it better. Just thought I would do some, you know, entertainment news for you on that side of fashion. Met Gala, the biggest fashion night of the year. Yeah, that is what happens every year. And they raise funds for the museum. And then they give out the next theme a little while after, so there's got enough time to come up with their ideas. Don't you just love it? All right, TNT. It's almost time to close it down. Let's take in some messages at 306-1065. Looking for some international news as well. Let me see what person here. Jada looked quite conservative with Will Smith. Well, I didn't see them. I saw Jaden, though. I don't know what Jaden was wearing. What was that wire thing on his face? It didn't make any sense. Another one says, I'm sorry, the Met was nothing to write about. Horrid, just my opinion. Like I tell you, there were some hits, and then there were totally misses as well. Yeah, there was another girl who wore a pink pantsuit that looked like Cyndi Lauper slash, what's this girl name again, by Lisa Bonet. Kind of mixed up kind of thing, and it didn't make the mark. It seems like dressing normally for the Met Gala is a sin. Yeah, because that's the time to really express. Now, Miss Wintour gave out rules as well to the people who are invited. And you had to be specially invited as well to the Met Gala, right? You had to be a part of the fashion world to be invited. Anyway, if you don't know who Miss Wintour is, she is the author, publisher, owner of Vogue magazine, who dictates what trends are. All that to say, you break the rules and then you won't be invited the next year. So for those who dressed quote-unquote normally for the Met Gala, I doubt they'll be on the guest list for next year, because you kind of want to, you know, express yourself in art. So yeah, Diana Ross did well. Janelle Monáe took it. Andre 3000 had some, you know, moments. This girl from Wicked, who played Elphaba. I'm seeing her face, but I can't remember her name. But you know who I'm talking about. The dark girl, the black girl, the beautiful girl. Yeah, she was there as well. And her dress was magnificent. Really, really magnificent. And then the pricing of these outfits, yeah, it will go into a few thousands as well. Kim Kardashian, disappoint me. The next one, they had some lackluster outfits. Anyway, TNT, let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll close off for today. Let's take in a few calls as well. And I've got some messages for you before we do that. All about cricket. It's new Cricket West Indies T20 Breakout League, a brand new tournament bringing together rising cricket stars from across the Caribbean, Barbados, Guyana, and Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, the Windward and Leeward Islands, all battling for breakout glory. Freedom 106.5 FM is your official home for the cricket action, with 17 live matches in 10 days, starting April 25th to May 10th, powered by the Guardian Media Limited, your official media partner. Don't miss a moment. Follow Freedom 106.5 FM on Facebook and Instagram for the full match lineup and updates. Cricket West Indies T20 Breakout League, the next generation of cricket legends, starts now.
Children 10 years and under.
Keep an eye on the clock.
And this is the Spellbound Wheel.
Plus,
your hive of 5 and 35 is.
And featuring your boy, Kirsty Illusionist.
It's on Mondays at 8.
Streaming live on Facebook and at cnc3.co.tt.
Reruns on Wednesdays at 4:25 p.m. and on Saturdays at 5 p.m. on CNC3.
Brought to you by the Ministry of Planning and Development, Paria Fuel Trading Company Limited, with Oxytos Plus and thebesttoys.com.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Let's take in some voice notes before we close down for today's session. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, Tesca. Do you start and then come out looking good, man? That thing with Lauren Hill, it wasn't the best.
Mm-mm.
But that make you like, still make you like, but you know, sometimes I'm more of a people, elevator in all and going all the way up. I don't know if she's still like that. Yeah, Tesca, Jaden Smith, I really don't know. I really don't know what to say. I think the elephant in the room right now. I think this just put a little child in a straitjacket and check out what's going on. Something going on there.
You see what I mean? It's not only me. I'm telling you, I did not understand that outfit at all. Andre Leon Talley was also an inspiration for some of the outfits that came out of the Met Gala as well. Let's see. Let me just go into the story that is in the Washington Post. The Met Gala celebrations of Black dandyism has a dark side. Now, let me explain what dandyism is. It is an expression by Black people who went against the colonial powers and added their own flair to the quote-unquote white styles of the time. So you would see a lot of top hats, walking sticks, you know, zoot suits. They used to call it zoot suits. You see persons like Dapper Dan from New York who styled people like Run DMC and MC Light and Queen Latifah, those kinds of iconic outfits. They took that idea and put it into art, into the Met Gala, for the interpretation of designers. And they said that mostly Caribbean designers killed it, Asian designers in terms of embroidery work. The many Black designers came all out with their looks. There's this girl, what is her name? She wore a fantastic red. Tioni is her name. She's been in the news a lot lately. She won a couple awards for her portrayals, Tony Awards, etc. Still, maroon outfit, down to the pocket watch that is attached to the chain, the walking cane, the hats. Oh, make me feel like I need to get a, you know, a whole pantsuit. Rihanna did well. I love how Rihanna looked. And the way in which that they took, like, jackets and made it into skirts and, you know, turned the whole idea of what a jacket should be. I kind of like fashion, so. Excuse me. But TNT, it's almost time to pack up today's edition of The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. So I was going to take some calls. If you like, you could call 625-2257. We've got about 7 more minutes. And yeah, let me just get to the next part of the article. The article says, never forget interviewing Talley at what I thought was his home in upstate New York, 2018. Tyler Mitchell had been first Black photographer in Vogue's long history to shoot a cover, and I wanted to Talley's to take on it. And he was known to really invite people into his house, and he greeted me in his legendary kaftan as we sat on the porch where he brought some lemonade, and he spoke about inspiring the likes and legendary Vogue editors such as Winter. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Oscar, Trinity here.
Hey, Trinity.
Well, I want to call and just comment on an earlier topic you had with the people with the animals and all these things.
Sure.
When she was saying that they give the animal fat and from chicken and all these pork and all these things, I mean, fat, she didn't really exactly say that, but she was talking about fat and all these things. I don't think nothing healthy for animals and all that. And I don't give my dogs those things, you know.
Well, the thing is what she should be giving the animals, she cannot afford at this point in time. And basically, it was a call for collaborations with those who have that type of food. It's probably get it at a better price or cheaper price.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Yeah, because if have places where shelters where they have these animals and things, and they need help with it. Yeah? Because, I mean, I can't afford dogs. And to maintain these dogs is very costly. Right? Very, very costly. Chow don't last no time at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and buy other things to go with it, and then medication, vet, and all these things. It's very expensive. So sometimes people have some places have kind of 40, 50 dogs, some shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just dogs, other animals, cats, and all these things. It's a lot.
The thing is that when Chinese feel that just bone and gristle is what could maintain a dog, you would find they don't have that concept, like, you know, you're talking dog chow, you're talking wet food, as you say, vet bills, injections, all of that.
You see, animals, somebody take an animal, you have to tell yourself, you don't like animals when it's small. When they get bigger, you have to understand that. When they get old now, what you'll do, throw it on the side of the road, you scatter it, and that's your end.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do these things. If you know you can't afford it, then leave it alone, you know what I'm saying? At the same time, much dogs, I pick up stray dogs and carry by the vet and attend to them and have them as my pet in the beginning.
Yeah. That's why they say it is better to take rescue animals rather than go to the breeder.
Yeah. Okay, that's a nice show.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. So that's my last piece of advice. If it is that you can adopt, foster, please do. It will help out the shelters and so on. Other than that, if it is that you know you wouldn't be able to handle the animals, it is better for them to allow someone else to take care of them. And those who can distribute or donate as well to these shelters and to these organizations, please do, because they desperately need that help. All right, let me squeeze in one more. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, when I feed a dog, so by me, I just feed. Once the animals come by me, I just feed them.
Mm-hmm.
I have two of my own, I three, one night, and I just feed the animals. The animals, and I'm innocent.
Yeah, they are.
I call them a nephew. I love dogs. And I don't really like, she has to stay. Well, not that's the anatomy. And what happened, that one, he just so pushy, I had to feed him. So he and all his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So as I come in night, he's like, oh my gosh, you know, that is this thing trending. That's the way people calling me. I only put them together. Somebody tell them with a big bowl or something.
No, but that sounds close to how cats are. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Next thing, 30 years. Watch plenty of them, gala show and stuff. You like them things?
Yeah, I do.
The African said talking about she has a kind of funny name. She the girl who was the with Smith when he slapped Chris Rock.
Lupita.
Yes.
Noingo.
Mm-hmm. And then she has talking about, right?
Yeah, that's one of them.
A night outfit, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, right?
It was a powder bloom.
Yeah.
She always steps out in something unusual. I love her wardrobe. I do. All right. Enjoy. Okay. Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.